Well, what would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. This is St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. It's been a couple of weeks. I don't know if I should update that intro or not. If I had the wherewithal, I guess I have the wherewithal. I don't have the motivation to go through back episodes and pull some hot quotes of things said on the show and maybe make an intro with that. I don't know. But anyway, here we are. I've got the lights on in the computer room. Just, I don't know, my deep, dank basement vibes. Just trying something else. So we've got some lights on here. We've still got glare in my glasses. Hello, everybody. If you're watching this on Facebook or on YouTube or whatever, if you want to throw a comment in there, assuming this is all working right, I can see it and respond to it if it's not too stupid. I had a couple of weeks off, mainly because 2 weeks ago I've been playing a lot of video games. I finally got myself a PlayStation 5, which I've been trying to do in various capacities since Christmas. My friend Phil Smith up in Fredericton, he ended up with three of them. The light switch is triggering you. Just that it exists. Oh, here's... Do we like these vibes better? Right? There's a bit of a transition anyway. Phil Smith had three PlayStation 5s at launch back in November, just because he had tried to cover all his bases and ended up pre-ordering it from a bunch of different places. I could have gotten one, and I opted not to because I wanted to upgrade a bit of my my setup at home. And I figured it would be much easier to get one after Christmas. I didn't want to deprive a poor child from getting a PS5 for Christmas, so I thought that I was doing the right thing by waiting, but it was hard to come by. People didn't generally get them in stores, so you kind of had to watch like Best Buy and Walmart's. They've got gaming Twitter accounts that they want you to follow so that you can see what's going on. There was a Twitter account that I tried to follow that was trying to keep on top of it. And I signed up for Telegram so that Twitter account could send me a message and my phone would beep at me as soon as something became available. And, yeah, that didn't work out very well. I got one message kind of in the middle of the night that I slept through and was gone by morning. I got told that, the source was going to have some like 11 a.m. the next morning. And I tried and I'm frantically refreshing, but just the website just got destroyed because so many people were on it. So that wasn't very fun. I thought maybe I could get ahead of the Twitters, and somebody sent me just an ongoing Twitch stream where somebody has bots just crawling through all of the different websites looking for updates, and I had that on all day at work in the background so that I would hear a noise if one of the stores had it or something, or if the guy just felt like started to talk to whoever's watching this thing incessantly, giving them a heads up that they need to reset it and they're going to the bathroom or something. Anyway, that didn't work. And it turns out that that Twitch stream I was following was not Canadian-based. So even if I had caught something, I wouldn't have been able to buy whatever it was. Tried to find some Canadian ones, but they weren't like 24/7 ones. So I'm not sure what the point of it was. Anyway, I ended up just doing the most obvious thing. I called EB Games and asked to be put on a waiting list, and I had to wait less than a week before they called me, and they had one. So that's what I've been up to. Been playing my PlayStation 5, mostly Demon's Souls. I've got a couple of PlayStation 4 games that I still have in progress that have free upgrades, or they've got them coming, but aren't out yet. The light switch is off center. The light switch is fine. It's mostly just my my spacing of my little horror cards. I agree. The this general area isn't quite centered. And no, they were not Russian bots. As I just said, they were American bots. But anyway, playing Demon's Souls for the most part. Don't notice it is, I'm sure it is graphically better, but I don't know. I just like to play games on it, and it's not like a mind-blowing upgrade. The biggest thing is the load times are really quick, especially in something like Demon's Souls where you're dying a lot, and there'd be like a minute-long cutscene or like a load screen in between every time that you die, so that's fun. The controller's kind of cool, too, but it's kind of gimmicky. In the Astro's Playroom, the built-in game. It's basically a tech demo, but it's a fun little platformer. It's kind of explains. It's just a good showcase for what the controller does. It's got fancy rumble, is how I'd describe it. And it's interesting. It's not something that I can imagine is going to be a huge feature in a lot of games. I read some reviews of Demon's Souls when it came out, talking about how the haptic feedback really improves the gameplay. I wouldn't go that far. So anyway, I got a PlayStation, so that's what I was playing 2 weeks ago instead of doing the show. Last week, also playing PlayStation, but I guess I had the excuse that I had my eyelid cut open during the day. If you follow me on the internet, you may have seen a picture on Instagram, johnforward.com, DOTCOM. It's all spelled out. I'm a dirty boy with filthy eyeballs, and for the past 10 years probably, I've had recurrent styes in my eyes. Basically, just the normal stuff that's supposed to leak out of your eyelids. Mine gets all clogged up because I'm a dirtbag. My eye is fine now, Melissa. Thank you for asking. But basically what happens is just something gets clogged up and then it starts filling up with goop and I end up with a big lumpy thing on my eyeball. Or not on my eyeball, it's on my eyelid. And eventually it gets out of hand. I need to go to the hospital, and they stick like freezing needles in and give me, and that's the worst part probably. Or well, this time that was the worst part. They freeze it. And then, I've always kind of had my eyes closed and I was seeing it from like my own point of view. I don't know what the apparatus looks like, but I'm picturing kind of a Clockwork Orange type thing. It feels like they're sticking like something underneath the eyelid and then like flipping it back up and then like hacking away at the inside of my eyelid. And so anyway, I'm imagining Dr. Pimple Popper. They just poke it and it spurts out stuff, and it's very uncomfortable. It bleeds and it eventually heals, but you know, over the years, just like I've got a bad back and I can sense when a back event is coming on, I can kind of feel the same thing happening in my eye. Sometimes it gets a little bit sore, and that's when I know to put like a warm compress on it. I've got, I don't have it in here. I've got like a thing like a thing I can wrap around my face and like a heating pack thing that I can throw in the microwave. That sometimes it works and it lets it all drain out and everything's fine. Sometimes it just makes my eyeball get infected. Gives me pink eye or something and everything swells right up and my eye gets like super red bloodshot. Usually if it gets to the point where it gets infected and then I have to go to the doctor and get antibiotics to take care of the infection, the main swelling shrinks down and it leaves like a little lump in there. It's usually on the top lid, but sometimes on the bottom. I think one time it was on this side, but it's usually the right eye. But, the last several times I've gone to, there's an older doctor. I forget what his name is, but like he's an older guy and he's got like his shirt unbuttoned to here and he's got like his salt and pepper chest hairs and many gold chains. He's got lots of rings. He's a big jewelry man. He just sets up at the St. Joseph Hospital and just parks there and they make like a dozen appointments once a month and he just bangs them out back to back. The poop articles, it may have been poop articles. I actually, changed some of my hygiene to avoid it. No more, cleaning my butt with a face cloth and then putting the face cloth directly on my face. I never did that before, but, making an extra effort to not put poop in my eyes. Maybe the cat's butthole sits down on my pillow during the day when I'm not home. So then I'm sleeping and I'm rubbing my eye all over my poopy pillowcase. I could probably wash my pillowcase more than once every 6 months. That might help. But anyway, the old guy with the chains, he's retiring. So my family doctor didn't quite know where he was going to send me, so they've got some new younger whippersnapper eye doctors that are doing it. So anyway, I got a referral. I went in, this was a different lady doctor. Not that it matters. She was kind of hot. If I'm going to be honest, she had a little skirt dress combo. It was nice. And, she's a doctor. I respect her accomplishments and her intellect. And she seems to have been much better at performing the actual eye surgery than the other guy. I don't know if she's just got a different technique or if the other guy was just, old and shaky and didn't give a shit or what. But anyway, getting the freezing needles into the eyelid was very bad. But the actual procedure wasn't too bad. And this is usually the old guy just sends me on my way with a bloody eye and gives me like a handful of gauze that I can dab at it. She actually, she put some sort of ointment on there and put an eye patch on me to keep there for a couple hours. I did the unpatching on my Facebook. It wasn't as exciting as I'd hoped it would be. Previous times there was a lot more blood, but damn this competent MILFy doctor not making my eyeball as gory as it could have been. She actually gave me a little tube of some sort of ointment to put on it, which is weird putting like a solid, like, it's a tiny little thing, so I had to basically squeeze out like a little snake of, like, it's got the consistency of Vaseline, so when that's in the eye, you have to kind of blink a little bit to dissolve it, but it's kind of gross. He will let everyone watch the unpatching, but won't let me drain the cyst. I'm sorry. I don't know if I should say who that is. I don't think she wants that. I don't know. She already knows. That's my dear wife, May. That's her YouTube name. She's been outed, doxed, in your face. Happy International Women's Day. I don't trust that May has the proper tools or sanitary methods. It's probably her allowing the cat to put his poopy butthole on my pillowcase and creating the whole problem to start with. But anyway, I asked the doctor if there's anything I can do, because the previous guy had told me that, you know, some men are prone to some certain kind of bacteria that does this, and that there's a medication, but you'd have to take it every day forever. And, you know, I didn't want to do that, but I also don't want to have to go get my eyelid sliced open once every couple of years. So I was going to do that, but she just said, don't worry, compress and just clean it. I bought some eyelid wipes at the drugstore, so I'll try to keep my filthy eyeball less filthy, and hopefully less filth is less lump. And so anyway, interesting situation. When I went to the hospital to get this done, I had to be there for 7 a.m. and he doesn't do that. I assume you mean the cat putting his butthole on my pillow. I've seen it. Went there for seven. I got there before seven. I tried to pay for my parking, and it wouldn't let me because it kept telling me that parking is free before 7 a.m. I'm like, yeah, but what about in 5 minutes when I'm in the hospital? So anyway, I went in without paying and was going to storm City Hall if I had to, if I got a ticket, but wasn't necessary. But I went in and I had an N95 mask on, you know, the one that actually accomplishes something if that's what your goal is. And when I was checking in at the front door, and she asked me all the COVID questions. Do you have a symptom of this and this and this and this? Have you been anywhere? Have you had any fun? Are you being a jerk on the internet? All of that. I gave the correct answer to all of them. And then she made me change the mask because she said they don't like those N95 masks here, which seemed strange. It definitely didn't seem like they were following the science. And that's very triggering. As I've said on the show before, you can watch the back episodes. Pretty much, I've had people send me some studies trying to convince me that the masks are awesome and that they do a gangbusters job at preventing COVID. But if you look at more than just the one paragraph summary, it's not so compelling. But they did say generally, like, N95 masks that are well fitted and you're not fussing with. Mine had been sitting in my pocket for weeks at a time. That's probably not proper, but the fact that the hospital doesn't like the N95 masks was weird. I have no idea what the reasoning. I didn't want to make a fuss or be a dickhead, so I'm just going to do that on the internet when there's nobody to back up my claims or refute them. Sounds to me like the staff in the hospital are just get butthurt when they see somebody with better masks than they have, so they gave me one of the little rectangle papery kind of ones that they use in the hospital. What if the wife is rubbing the flaps under Winnie the Pooh? Oh, that could be the case. Unless there's poop getting into the flaps and that is being transferred to the pillow, then maybe not. But anyway, I thought it was really odd that at the hospital, you know, ground zero for following the science and listening to medicine has a problem with N95 masks for some reason. I just saw today that they're requiring everybody, you're not allowed to wear your own mask anymore. They'll make you swap one out at the door, which that's a reasonable request, I think. But anyway, because yeah, most of the, I saw a bunch of people walking around that just had the homemade cloth masks on in the hospital. Apparently those completely useless ones are fine and dandy, but no N95 masks. But while we're talking about masks, the CDC has a new study out. Nobody sent this to me, but I'm sure it was coming, so I'm going to get ahead of it. You know what time it is. It's time. to follow the science, everybody. So the CDC, just let's pull it up here. Hang on a second. There we go. Because I had talked before about, you know, some of the other mask stuff that people sent me was basically lab situations, and it was with different situations. Like it was for flu, and it was for people that were stuck in the house with somebody that has flu. This one is. I'll read the title for those of you only listening. Association of State-Issued Mask Mandates and Allowing On-Premises Restaurant Dining Within or With County-Level COVID-19 Case and Death Growth Rates. United States, March 1st to December 31st, 2020. So this is looking at specifically the mandates. Again, I think that the masks are stupid, but I'm only really complaining that it's like a legal mandate that's happening. If it was up to individuals to make their own decisions, people can do whatever they want. But so this is a good one. This is talking about seeing mask mandates. It's not like lab scenarios where they don't even do a double blind study. They're also talking about restaurant dining, which is, I think, a bigger issue in the States. Well, also elsewhere in Canada, not so much in New Brunswick. Our restaurants are open. Depending on what phase you're in, I might need to show ID to get into the restaurant. But anyway, we've got we got to catch up on these comments. May only did it once. It made the sty go away. And I don't know what that is. Chill cat. So anyway, this is a study. Basically, they looked at before a mask mandate and after in different chunks of dates. And they also looked at restaurant stuff, which, again, that's an issue also in Canada, not so much in New Brunswick. I don't think our restaurants have been closed since, I don't know. They've definitely got limited capacity. So anyway, here's the summary. This is what most people are looking at. What is already known about this topic? So they say universal masking and avoiding non-essential indoor spaces are recommended to mitigate the spread of COVID-19. So that's a given. We already know that. But what is added by this report? So they say mandating masks was associated with a decrease in daily COVID-19 case and death growth rates within 20 days of implementation. Allowing on-premises restaurant dining was associated with an increase in daily COVID-19 case growth rates 41 to 100 days after implementation, and an increase in daily death grow rates 61 to 100 days after implementation. So what are the implications? Mask mandates and restricting any on-premises dining at restaurants can help limit community transmission of COVID-19 and reduce case and death growth rates. These findings can inform public policies to reduce community spread of COVID-19. So they're saying mask mandates mean less people are getting sick and dying. Opening up restaurants mean more people are getting sick and dying. That's the gist of it. We've got this little handy little graphic. In counties where states required masks, the case and the death rates slowed. And in places where they allowed on-site restaurant dining, cases and death rates sped up. And if you reduce the spread, then you prevent infections and then you prevent deaths. Case closed. You can read this for yourself. I'm not going to go into the nitty gritty of it like I have on some other times, but I will point this out. Daily case and death growth rates before implementation of mask mandates were not statistically different from the reference period. So that's saying, like, even though it shows a difference within statistics, there's errors of margin. So if you're showing something that's within the errors of the margin of errors, they say, is not statistically different. The wording of this, I'm not entirely sure I understand. So this sounds like it's saying that what was going on before isn't very different from what was happening after, which is what I would have guessed, and based on all of the stuff that I've seen, some of which has been shared on the show, some of it I haven't bothered. But the reference period, that's mainly the point of contention here. So it's not statistically different from the reference period, so I don't know if that means the baseline, because they looked at two chunks before and a couple of chunks after, and then there's kind of a baseline in the middle. So I don't know if this is saying that it wasn't before was about the same as like day zero for the study, or if it means like the whole period of the study right up and through the end of 2020. So if we go to the actual data, though, we can see how they kind of looked at this. So they've got all these. So 1 to 20 days before is kind of the reference. And then they also looked at 21 to 40 days before, 41 to 60. And then afterwards, they've got all these different metrics. So you'll notice that. So this is the percentage. They looked at case growth, which, again, could just be how fast and how many people are being tested in any given place or time. Death is harder to hide, although people have been saying that the numbers get kind of fudged, but I think death is a good number. My nurse friend a couple of weeks ago said that hospitalization numbers would probably be a really good one. That's not mentioned here, but at least according to this study. So this is, this table is for mask mandates. And basically, we're looking at a best-case scenario of 1.8%. So if you're looking at total cases in places where there was a mask mandate, it was 1.8% better. And that's not 1.8% of the population. That's a percentage. It's like 1.8% of whatever percent of people get it. And some tiny percent of those who do get it actually have severe symptoms or even die. But I guess death is here. So death after 100 days, or between 81 and 100, makes 1.8% difference. And for death, 1.9%. That in and of itself is not very impressive. I would never say that the masks do absolutely nothing. When I say they are pointless, I mean like relatively. If it's 1.8% effective compared to, at the very least, just the annoyance of having my nose mushed into my face and just having that thing and all of the grossness involved with it and all of the garbage. I'll have to find that. There's a nice video of some people in Idaho or Iowa maybe burning their masks and throwing them into a flaming bucket. That was nice. But anyway, 1.8% compared to the annoyance of it at the very least, plus, you know, we could get into the vague. I'm not well read on this, but I can't imagine like any babies that have been born this year that it's not going to have a long-term effect on them, just not being able to see people's faces. Even adults, the psychological effect of, you know, normally just walking down the street, at least, you know, I kind of make eye contact and kind of smile at people. If we make eye contact, that kind of thing, that's just all gone. So it's a much more cold world out there, and it's hard to quantify that. But what I'm saying is all of this stuff, there's trade-offs. It's going to help coronavirus this X amount, but it's going to have this as the cost. And the cost of masks, more so like lockdowns and all that other stuff, the costs are a lot more defined. But it's a trade-off. We're basically saying if you're going to do this, the annoyance of it should be balanced out by the effectiveness. And 1.8% is not impressive at all. Now, if I'm reading this wrong, somebody feel free to correct me. But these numbers in brackets, this is kind of the margin of error. So this 1.8, that's the average between 2.8 and 0.7. So basically the entire effect is a little bit more than what the margin of error is. There's a 1.1%. It could be either way, margin of error here. For the deaths, this is a 2.2% margin of error, if I'm reading this correctly. And that is more than what the actual percentage is. So basically, the effect is not statistically significant, is how this would go. And again, I don't care as much about restaurants. The people who work in restaurants and own restaurants probably care, but the numbers for that are not impressive either. This is letting people have indoor dining. It ranges. It looks like it actually cases went down for the first 40 days of banning indoor dining, which is counterintuitive. But 100 days later, after everything's been said and done, 1.1%. And the range is from 0 to 2.2. So again, not statistically significant. Death rate, 3% better. But the margin of error is between 1.8 and 4.3. So I'm not very impressed with these numbers. So anyway, that has been Follow the Science. Hang on a sec. Let's get the, we don't need the stinger again. What do we got here? That's not cringy at all. Read the mask burning. I don't think it's cringy at all. I'm going to try to bring it up. As I said before, I enjoy the, I know what I was going to look at on there. There's something else I wanted to show you. I enjoy the civil disobedience of it all, especially, you know, civil disobedience that doesn't involve smashing and burning things. That's always fun. Hang on. Let's find it. Let's go back to the CDC thing. Share screen. Application window. Chrome tab. All right. So if we go back to the study, I found this was helpful. We've got this article metrics thing happening. So they tracked how often it's being shared. So there's like 193 news stories, 7 blogs, 6,252 tweets, only 8 Facebook and 11 Reddit shares. But we can actually see some of that stuff. If you click through, hang on. So these are all the news stories that use this article as a reference. And of course, it's all, hey, masks are coming off, but should they be? Oh my God, check out this CDC study that shows that masks are super amazing. And, you know, California mostly. That's what's to be expected. But when I look at the people tweeting it out, this kind of warms my heart a little bit that people are not buying the bullshit as much as I thought. Again, this is linked right on. So CDC shows useless, and they kind of talk about it. Gives you a 0.5 less likely chance at getting COVID in people still, but this is shit. CBC report confirms mass mandates are BS. Anyway, a lot of these tweets are basically everybody realizing that this is nonsense, which is different than what you see on the news. But hang on, all right, we've got the mask burning. So hang on, we got to get the sound. Here we are on Twitter.
Dude, we were right here. Right here. Right here.
Destroy them, feed them to the fire. That's just adorable, and I love it. Yeah, so a few, hang on. John, they burned the masks. I know. You just said, bam, got you. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, they burned the masks. It was great. Everybody's retweeting that CDC article showing how, and that's the follow the science people. Generally, they will read the summary of these things and not pay much attention to the content of the actual study that they're sharing. I mean, if you have to take it on faith and you're not allowed to ask questions, that's faith, and that's not what science is supposed to be. But there's a bunch of states that started with Texas and Mississippi, one of the M ones. Their governors just were like, you know what? Screw it. No more mask mandates. Everybody's allowed to be open. Make your own decisions. Lots of people are freaking out. Oh my gosh, they're all going to die. You can just do a Google search for it. All of the corporate news is sounding the alarms, and there's a few states that have followed suit. That is not cheese. That is freedom and democracy in action. Anyway, there's a lot of people freaking out, just like early on people were freaking out about Sweden, which is not much worse off than a lot of places. It's certainly not, going crazy. Florida has had a fair amount of cases, but it's comparable to places that don't have any of the rules, and they've been pretty much open since September, and they've got like the oldest population in the state. So those old fogies should be dropping like flies, but they're not. I enjoy that the mask is slipping figuratively and literally, and that I'm not expecting many retractions in a couple of weeks when, oh, oops, I guess everybody in Texas didn't die. Or if there's even like a tiny slight uptick, then it's going to be like, see, that's what happens when you don't follow the rules. I don't know how it's going to pay out, but I think reasonable people are seeing these states reopen, and just the trade-offs. The having all of the rules and all of the consequences that stem from having all of those rules compared to how effective the rules are at stopping the thing from happening. And it doesn't look good. I'm not going to get into, if anybody wants, I can point you in the direction of some stuff. I'm not going to spend the rest of the show showing you graphs comparing places that have mask mandates to places that don't have mask mandates. I could show you graphs of like a specific place that that had a mask mandate, and you can see the curve go up and down, and you can kind of put where the mask mandate happened, and it doesn't really correlate with any drop. A lot of places they were saying, see, this place, they all wore masks when it was like low, and then like a couple of months later it's like whoop, back up for unknown reasons. It gets blamed on, well, people must have stopped following the rules all at once, and then the same general pattern as everywhere else. You got me. You said you prefer a protest where they don't smash or burn anything, and then use burning masks as the example, you rascal. You got me there. I will say I'm okay with burning things in a Smokey the Bear safe way in a self-contained metal barrel. not so much burning down buildings or anything like that. No property damage, we'll say. I assume unless of course they went in and they stole those masks from some very obedient COVID warriors against their will and then burned them. If they did that, that's messed up, and I don't approve of that. But yeah, the corrections are not going to come. Even if it turns out that all these places that reopen, and I'm not saying this will happen, but I'm saying even if they did all of a sudden plummet their cases, it would either just be not commented on, or it would just be like, oh, what's the vaccine? That's probably it. Like, there's no version of any of the results that would lead to, oops, we did it wrong. All of this stuff that we had to live through for the past year didn't really make much of a difference. Sorry, our bad. Nobody's ever going to say that. Getting dry. So anyway, that's masks. Let's get on to everybody else's favorite topic, the Capitol insurrection on January 6th. I learned about something last week that is not being widely reported. I've got a short video. There was a Senate hearing. This is a clip from it. I pulled it off The Hill's YouTube page and trimmed it down to the relevant part. But they had a Senate hearing. They were asking the FBI all kinds of questions about what happened on January 6th. And let's just play this clip. It's about a minute long.
Okay. Well, again, we've got 300 individuals have been charged. 40 have been charged by assault. Do you expect the hundreds of people to be charged with assault, or will those be disorderly contact, unlawful entry? I mean, what? Give me some sort of sense of the extent of this.
Absolutely, it's a fair question. So I think the charges have ranged from everything from trespassing to obstruction to definitely assault on federal officers. We have a fair number of those. And so the charges based on the actual behavior that the individual partook that day definitely vary.
How many firearms were confiscated in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds during that day?
To my knowledge, we have not recovered any on that day from any other arrests at the scene at this point. But I don't want to speak on behalf of Metro and Capitol Police, okay. But to my knowledge, none.
So nobody's been charged with an actual firearm weapon in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds?
Correct. The closest we came was the vehicle that had the Molotov cocktails in it. And when we did a search of that vehicle later on, there was a weapon. But
how many shots were fired that we know of?
I believe the only shots that were fired were the ones that resulted in the death of the one lady.
So that's interesting for something that's being called an armed insurrection. Just for some context, that's a Republican senator. So, you know, he's the devil. That was Jill Sanborn from the FBI giving her testimony saying that, you know, they didn't find any guns. They did find, we've all heard about it, probably the guy that had his truck parked kind of away from it at all with a bunch of crazy shit in it. He decided to leave all of his weapons in the truck for some reason for the armed insurrection. She says the only shot that was fired was the rioter that caught one in the neck. I've seen the video. It's not pleasant. None of this is pleasant. It's all bad. They're breaking windows. It's trespassing, which I do not condone, but it is being played up quite a bit. And especially with all of the talk about, you know, they want to have 9/11 is being brought up quite a bit. And talking about like domestic terrorism. So basically we want to, hey, remember back in 2001 when everybody was being like extra racist to Middle Eastern people and thinking that they were responsible for 9/11 and beating the shit out of them on the street? Let's do that, but with like Trump people. And I'm saying this as a non-Trump person. It's constantly being called an armed insurrection. Which, again, if the FBI didn't find any guns on the day, they've arrested some people after the fact, and when they went to their houses, they had guns, which they apparently left home on the big day. And she does say that, you know, I don't want to speak for the Capitol Police or the Justice Department, I think. I tried to do a search to see if the Capitol Police recovered any guns. And the algorithms don't make it easy to really find any information on this. So the first thing when I try to find some information, this is the main thing that pops up. Fact checks. That's generally what comes up when anything kind of goes against the narrative. We've got a fact check claim about the FBI official who said no guns recovered. It's missing context. So anyway, the context that they're saying was missing was the comment about how, where is it? Anyway, whatever it is, where she said, you know, I don't want to speak for the Capitol Police or the who, whatever. I am including it. I'm just saying, we'll get to it. I tried to find if anybody else was saying that they arrested people with guns and found some different accounts, none of them terribly impressive, but I will note, to my knowledge, none. Oh, it was quoted by several outlets, including the Epoch Times, and at least one other outlet quoted the Epoch Times, which to me, they're just throwing that in there. Like, well, the Epoch Times said it, and they've already kind of started the, I think we talked about this on, I think it was on Four Story Walk Up, but Epoch Times has had several hit pieces written about it. I've looked at the website and it's very like China centric. If you look into it, the website was started by some Chinese people that have they've got a bone to pick with the CCP. So they've got a lot of coverage about all the bad things that's going on in China. But the website as a whole is not like the QAnon crazy pants Alex Jones website that it's made out to be. Most of it's pretty reasonable. It's certainly got a conservative lean to it. But they just throw that in with... This is kind of how these things go. I've noticing it a lot more lately that just all of this is they take the worst possible, like, thing. And they just kind of use lots of boogeyman words. So like the Epoch Times and talking about the Capitol riot itself. And they're like, oh, it was QAnon and it's racist. And there was a Confederate flag. And there's the one picture of the one guy that had the Auschwitz t-shirt. And like, they find like the three biggest crackpots saying something. And then they're like, oh, that's it. Same thing with Alex Jones. Like Alex Jones fucked up with the Sandy Hook thing, and I don't really pay attention to Alex Jones unless he's a guest on like some other show that I like. But you know, Alex Jones was wrong about Sandy Hook and it had consequences. Therefore, evil bad man, nothing he's ever said or will say again is ever going to be true. Gay frogs, everybody. So in QAnon too, which to this day, I have still not seen one actual person who I know post any pro QAnon stuff. I made that comment in a friend's thread that was talking about it. And I said, like, it just seems like the whole thing is made up. It just seems to be like a boogeyman so that you can discredit Trump people. I'm sure there are QAnon people, but the amount of times that it's brought up, I only ever hear about QAnon in the context of somebody complaining about how bad QAnon is or how QAnon is something to do with this other thing that they claim is bad. I know there are some QAnon people, and there's at least one person in the States that was elected who's a loud and proud QAnon person, but just for even... the Epoch Times was, there was a hit piece on CBC after the Epoch Times sent out the newspaper, the free sample to everybody, talking about how it was a pro-Trump QAnon newspaper. And if you do a search for QAnon on Epoch Times, it comes up like 50-something times, and it's always like as a news story, like not like a, here's what Q says and you should follow it. It's just like politicians are talking about it constantly, so it's in the news. Do a search for QAnon on the CBC website, and you get hundreds and hundreds of results. So, like, the CBC is talking about QAnon more than the Epoch Times is, and I couldn't find any, like, pro-QAnon stuff on the Epoch Times. But they bring that up. They show, you know, the one person with the Auschwitz t-shirt, that person's probably a Nazi for sure. They had one person with the Confederate flag who's probably a piece of shit, but I don't know how representative it is. Some other stuff I found online when I was researching this. I was trying to find, like, who else? Okay. Are the Capitol Police saying that they found some guns? I find this article from CNN. First word, guns, knives, bombs, and bear spray. Here are the weapons that Trump supporters brought to. And it's being called an armed insurrection. And I'm not going to play this video because rolling my eyes too much is not good for my eyelid. This is worth watching if you want to do it on your own time. It's just ridiculous. She's actually talking shit about that that Republican senator in his asinine comments about how the armed insurrection wasn't very well armed or insurrecty. But so anyway, here's though the stunning evidence. Look at this pole that somebody found on the ground. A sharpened pole. That's what it says in the thing. So yeah, somebody was just filing it down. Bear spray for sure. That is a violent weapon. This is all bad. It's just not like a 9/11 style thing. Which, oh yeah, by the way, I did watch this video earlier. Her big pièce de résistance at the end of the video is. Yeah, this Republican says, you know, when you think of armed insurrection, you think firearms, right? And she's like, yeah, well, maybe they didn't have firearms, but you know who else didn't have firearms? 9/11. Would you say that's no big deal because they didn't have guns? That's a fine point. Bear spray, that's messed up. And here's, again, they did find the one crazy guy that had a small armory in his truck, which I don't know why I'm glad he didn't bring them with him into the Capitol. I don't know why he brought all this shit and just left it in the truck. Here's a case of Molotov cocktails. He's got a crossbow with bolts and a smoke bomb and a stun gun. I think that's from the same guy. This article in here somewhere says that one person that they arrested coming out of the Capitol, they found a concealed handgun. I found another article earlier today that I couldn't find before the show that said like four people they had with guns, but again, given the narrative being pushed by all of this, I'm not entirely sure I trust those other articles. But in their worst case scenario, they found four people who actually brought guns with them in the Capitol. And the FBI, the only shot fired the whole time. Like, there was no back and forth and shooting the cops and the cops shooting the people like there were in other situations that don't need to be named. One shot fired, cop shot a lady in the neck. That's fucked up and sad when anybody dies, but that's not an armed insurrection. Yes, people had stuff with them. The bear spray is a little bit alarming. But yeah, people picked up stuff and they were throwing rocks at the police and all that stuff. Probably for the first time ever that anyone's ever thrown rocks at the police. But you know, you always hear about five people died at this thing. So one of them was the lady that got shot in the neck by the cops. I looked into it. One other person got trampled, which is bad. So this is like Black Friday level event. There's a couple other Trump supporters that one of them had a stroke and one of them had a heart attack like before anybody even went into the Capitol. They're calling that casualties of the Capitol riot. There's the one cop that they were saying that he died because somebody beat him to death with a fire extinguisher, which is a bad thing, a duh. But they've walked that back. There hasn't been any reference. There hasn't been any retractions, but they're not talking about that anymore because it's not true. It's been 2 months now, and they still haven't released the autopsy results for that guy, which if it was like blunt force trauma to the head, I'm not a mortician or an autopsy guy, whoever does that, but that's not real hard to diagnose. I found out the medical examiner's office, their rules are that any autopsy, they need to release the results within 90 days, and they're just sitting on this one. I read somewhere, you can Google it if you don't believe me, that officer who apparently died from getting his face caved in with a fire extinguisher was texting with somebody in his family and did mention that, you know, he got bear sprayed, but didn't bother mentioning anything about a fire extinguisher. The guy still died, and it's still a tragedy. But the way that he died is kind of important, especially if they're using this as an excuse to kind of go crazy on Trump people. There's also a couple other of the Capitol Police that killed themselves like 2 or 3 days later for who knows why, that are also being touted as casualties of the armed Capitol insurrection. But anyway, that's that. I've proved that everybody is wrong except for me. We're coming up on the end of the show. The coronavirus is still cooperating with the Higgs government. So we officially... We're yellow, baby. That means we're allowed to see 15 people instead of 10. Woo! We've had zero cases for a while now. In St. John, anyway. But anyway, so comedy's allowed to happen. There's a show at Punchlines this weekend featuring a comedian that doesn't need any extra advertising. But more importantly, March 20th. No Jokes Barred returns to McGill's. Do I have that in here? I meant to. There we go. No Jokes Barred, March 20th. It's covered up by the logo. 8 p.m. It actually starts at 8:30. That's a hot tip for you people listening to the show. Tracy Noble Taylor, Michelle Petit, Brian Godso, Tyson Ardo, Arif Hussein, Matt LeBlanc, John Scove Nielsen. So that should be a fun time. Check that out. If you live in Campbellton, I'm doing a show up there with Nathan Dimitrov, Brian Godso, and David Miles Holland Hall. I don't know where it is or much anything about it, other than that it's happening Saturday, March 27th, and I am told that they've put on a few shows, and they always sell out, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm just happy to get back to performing stand-up comedy. I've got a bit that I thought of when I was on my mushroom walk a couple of weeks ago. So we'll see if that works into the non-psychedelic real world. I'm excited to give it a try. What else is going on? Four-story walk-up. There's all kinds of movement. I've been doing that since the summer with Brian Godso and Arif Hussein. It's a fun time. There's less pontificating. That's more funny than this podcast. And that's fine. We tell jokes and we make each other laugh, and that's fun. We do that every other week on Thursday. We just had one this past Thursday. The video of that, it's on Facebook, it's on my YouTube channel. They will, I think, going forward, stream on Four Story Walk Up's has its own YouTube channel, I believe. And we've definitely got a Facebook page. So if you haven't already followed that, follow away. You can see the live stream a week from Thursday. And we're going to start putting out clips from the show. I think that might be a good thing to get some juice for the podcast, for anybody that doesn't want to sit through an hour. We'll I've got a few clips. We posted one clip the other day, and we'll trickle out the other handful that I pulled from last week's episode over between now and when the next live show happens. So check out Four Story Walk Up. Find the Facebook page. That's probably the easiest way to find it. We've got some back live streams on my YouTube channel. All of the audio from Four Story Walk Up is fourstorywalkup.podbean.com. And the audio version of this is johnforward.podbean.com, John Forward Comedy on YouTube, and all that other fun stuff. I'm on Instagram, johnforward.com, words all spelled out. I'm on Twitter, but I mostly just use that to watch videos of people burning masks. I don't post a whole lot. But anyway, that's the show. St. John Forward Radio. Come out to No Jokes Barred. And all the other stuff. Good night.